in the limelight.
Xenophobia is nothing new from US President Donald Trump or his base. It's what he built his campaign on. But just calling Trump racist doesn't work. The Democrats should have learned this from the 2016 election. What needs to be addressed is the falsehood of Trump's claims against the Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Dave DeCamp, a freelance journalist based in Brooklyn, NY, focusing on U.S. foreign policy and wars, has more on this in an article titled In Defense of Ilhan Omar. Stay tuned for the details. U.S. President Donald Trump held a rally in North Carolina on Wednesday after a week of criticizing certain freshman members of Congress, drawing much media attention. Of course, the cries of racism from the left are nothing new to hear. But in specifically targeting Representative Ilhan Omar, a Democrat from Minnesota, the president hit a new low. Omar needs to be defended. Despite what you think of her domestic policy, she has been one of the most consistent anti-war voices in Congress. When Trump brought up Omar, the crowd started chanting, "Send her back." As disgusting as that chant is, it's no surprise to hear at a Trump rally. Xenophobia is nothing new from Trump or his base. It's what he built his campaign on. But just calling Trump racist doesn't work. The Democrats should have learned this from the 2016 election. What needs to be addressed is the falsehood of Trump's claims against the Congresswoman. Trump started his attacks on Omar during the rally with Representative Omar blamed the United States for the terrorist attacks on American soil, saying terrorism is a reaction to U.S. involvement in other people's affairs. The crowd responded with boos, clearly not educated on Osama bin Laden's motives for the attacks on September 11th. Bin Laden's 1996 fatwa was entitled Declaration of Jihad Against the Americans Occupying the Land of the Two Holiest Sites. Expel the infidels from the Arab Peninsula. Bin Laden's jihad against the U.S. started because the U.S. was occupying his land. Even George W. Bush's Deputy Secretary of Defense, Paul Wolfowitz, admitted in 2003 that U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia had been Osama bin Laden's principal recruiting device. It doesn't seem like President Trump learned this lesson of history. Although it has not been formally announced, two U.S. defense officials told CNN the U.S. is preparing to send 500 ground troops to Saudi Arabia amid tensions with Iran. Of course, if Omar criticizes this move, the president will probably use it as proof that she is pro-Al-Qaeda. Trump was referring to comments Omar made in 2013 after an Al-Shabaab attack in Kenya. The Congresswoman said on a local Twin Cities TV show, "Nobody wants to face how the actions of other people that are involved in the world have contributed to the rise of the radicalization and the rise of terrorist acts." Adding, "Nobody wants to take accountability of how these are byproducts of the actions of U.S. involvement in other people's affairs." Somehow, acknowledging or even questioning the cause of terrorism is considered radical in the U.S. For Trump, it's just too easy for him to make Omar's point about terrorism seem so crazy, especially since she's a black Muslim immigrant who wears a headscarf and speaks with an accent. Referencing a tweet by Omar from 2017, Trump said, "She smeared U.S. service members involved in Black Hawk Down." In other words, she slandered the brave Americans who were trying to keep peace in Somalia. Omar did not smear any U.S. troops. She responded to a Twitter user who said, "The worst terrorist attack in Somalia's history was the Battle of Mogadishu, also known as Black Hawk Down." The Twitter user listed U.S. service member casualties and left out Somali casualties, to which Omar responded. In his selective memory, he forgets to also mention the thousands of Somalis killed by the American forces that day. The tweet was resurfaced in April of this year, and of course Omar's critics came out in full force. God forbid a Somali refugee wants the death of innocent Somalis caught up in that disastrous military operation to be remembered. One of the more ridiculous claims Trump made this week was that Omar and her freshman colleagues are pro-Al-Qaeda based on nothing. If anybody is pro-Al-Qaeda, it's the president who arms Saudi Arabia, while it is known the Saudis are arming Al-Qaeda in Yemen. What makes this claim even more baseless is that Omar has been fighting to stop U.S. arms sales to Saudi Arabia and end U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen altogether. Trump brought up Omar's criticism of his policy of aggression towards the Maduro government in Venezuela. Omar blamed the United States for the crisis in Venezuela. But all Omar did was speak the obvious truth that U.S. sanctions play a role in suffering in Venezuela. No matter what is to blame for the country's failing economy, U.S. sanctions do not help. Omar told Democracy Now, "A lot of policies that we have put in place has kind of helped lead the devastation in Venezuela, and we have sort of set the stage for where we are arriving today," adding, "This particular bullying and the use of sanctions to eventually intervene and make regime change really does not help the people of countries like Venezuela, and it certainly does not help and is not in the interest of the United States." The Center for Economic and Policy Research had determined U.S. sanctions were responsible for the deaths of 40,000 Venezuelans in a report they released in April. Omar is one of the very few members of Congress who oppose intervention in Venezuela. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, when asked about U.S. intervention in Venezuela, said, "I defer to Caucus leadership on how we navigate this. Caucus leadership wants regime change in Venezuela, lining up with Trump and his neocons." The Somali-born congresswoman has been nothing but consistent on her anti-war views. She has been part of the effort against U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen, an outspoken critic of Trump's Iran policy, and signed a bipartisan letter to the president supporting his announcement of withdrawing troops from Syria and Afghanistan. Omar even criticized President Obama's foreign policy when she said he was just a pretty face who got away with murder. Omar told Politico in May, "We can't be only upset with Trump. His policies are bad, but many of the people who came before him also had really bad policies. They just were more polished than he was," adding, "And that's not what we should be looking for anymore. We don't want anybody to get away with murder because they are polished. We want to recognize the actual policies that are behind the pretty face and the smile." A refreshing thing to hear a Democrat in Congress say. And of course, Omar has been a critic of Zionist regime's influence on U.S. politicians. Omar's very mild criticism of Israeli regime has gotten her the most backlash. She tweeted, "It's all about the Benjamin's baby," when referring to a story that journalist Glenn Greenwald shared on Twitter. The story was about a U.S. politician condemning Omar's criticisms of Zionist regime. When asked who was paying politicians to be pro-Israel, Omar responded in another tweet, "AIPAC, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, is one of the largest pro-Israel lobbying organizations in the U.S. and has lots of influence on the U.S. politicians. Both Republicans and Democrats condemned these statements as anti-Semitic." Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives Nancy Pelosi and other House Democrats released a statement on Omar's tweets. "Congresswoman Omar's use of anti-Semitic tropes and prejudicial accusations about Israel supporters is deeply offensive. This, no doubt, paved the way for Trump to attack Omar." In the middle of these attacks from President, Omar introduced legislation on Wednesday to protect Americans' constitutional right to boycott Israeli regime. The resolution said, "Affirming that all Americans have the right to participate in boycotts in pursuit of civil and human rights at home and abroad, as protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution." Fox News host Tucker Carlson recently had a segment on his show criticizing Omar, saying Ilhan Omar is living proof that the way we practice immigration has become dangerous to this country. Omar responded to Carlson by calling him a racist fool. But what if she takes a different approach to the criticism? Carlson is known to be opposed to the regime change wars and may even have the president's ear. President Trump has made opposing endless war part of his rhetoric, although his actual policy has not shown that. Imagine how powerful it would be for Omar to request a closed-door meeting with Trump about war, or ask Carlson if she can come on his show. Carlson often says he is a fan of open dialogue between people with opposing views. Omar should challenge him to see if he really means that. The chance of sent her back should be condemned. Omar should try to work with her enemies to end U.S.-led wars and stop the suffering of Muslims in West Asia at the hand of the U.S. government she is now a part of. Don't let these attacks distract you, Congresswoman. Keep fighting for peace.